Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. So what does it mean to live on the hook? Some Key Westerners can tell you all about that. They're nicknamed the liveaboards. Their boats are their homes, and they usually don't pay rent. Last year, longtime Key West photographer Mark Eden was awarded the Knight's Art Grant, and he decided to capture the world of those who live their lives anchored just off the island. His exhibit is called On the Hook, and it'll feature some of the black and white portraits he shot over the past year. Tonight is the opening reception, by the way, at the studios of Key West in Key West, starting at 6 p.m. He's joining us now from the WLRN studios in the Southernmost Bureau. And by the way, just to disclose, Mark is married to WLRN reporter Nan Klinginer. Mark, great to have you on the show.
How you doing, Lewis?
All right, tell us, real quickly, how do you define what it means to live on the hook?
Well, yeah, it's pretty much, we're an island, we're surrounded by water, and there's always been a boat community off the edge of Key West. I mean, as long as there's been a Key West, there's been people living on boats around it. And it comes down to one of the big issues in Key West is affordable housing, and it's definitely that. But it's also kind of a more adventurous way to live for a lot of people.
Do we know how many people are living like this?
I don't know if there is a survey out there. It changed. I mean, this community was hit pretty hard by Hurricane Irma. And a lot of those boats sunk. And so people have been kind of scrambling to get back out there or making other living arrangements. But, there's probably about 500 boats around Key West.
Now, the project was funded as part of a Knights Foundation Arts Grant. But was this a story that you've been wanting to tell for a long time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been working on this. I mean, I've been wanting to do it for a couple of years, but it's not it's not the kind of show you can sell pictures of to tourists. So the Knight Foundation grant was just kind of crucial for that, and it gave me the support. I've been working on this project for 10 months now, and I wouldn't be able to do it without that.
You know what I find interesting? I mean, reading about this is, I'd imagine it just seems common sense that part of it is because they love the privacy, right? So how did you approach them? How did you convince them to let you, turn your camera on them?
Well, pretty carefully. This is Florida, land of stand your ground, and I'm not sure totally how that applies on water. I went up pretty carefully, and at some point I realized you can actually knock on people's boats, but that took me a couple months to figure out. And mostly I would go around from boat to boat and look for people on deck and strike up a conversation with them and eventually ask if I could take their picture. And 95% of them said yes.
No, wait, hold on.
It can seem like a forbidding community, but it's not.
Hold on. Knock on boats. Please help me understand how you do that.
You kind of drive your boat very slowly up to their boat and you knock on their hull, and hope they hear it or their dog hears it.
Did you ever have, anybody who kind of just said, yell at you, not off my yard, get out of my yard, but get off my boat or get away from me?
No one was ever really hostile about it, but there's one guy, I'm like, can I take your picture? And he's like, sure. And then he just sunk down below deck. And I was like, so no picture? And he's like, my ex-wife hates me. She's from New Jersey. And it was kind of a non sequitur, but I respected it.
All right. So let's talk about some of the folks that you did get. You photographed a mother and daughter who live on a boat. And the daughter actually, right, she's spent her whole life on it.
Right. And that happens to a lot of kids down here. And I've known a bunch of kids who have grown up that way. And, they tend to be very well-adjusted kids that you can throw into any situation and they'll do fine. But that's Pascal and Lalani. And Pascal is a Montessori teacher down here, which in a small town, that's kind of like being a celebrity. And, she spent 20 years out there raising her daughter. Her parents aren't together anymore, but Lalani's father also lives out on the hook on a different boat.
And what prompted, going back to mom, what prompted her to do this, to have that kind of lifestyle?
It was straight up affordability for her. Key West is, it's Manhattan rates for real estate and it's hard to earn that kind of money. So, it's the way a lot of people make it, but it is, it's also just absolutely beautiful out there.
Let's go to that real quickly though. How many of the people you ran into, is it because of the affordability and it's just cheaper to live on a boat?
Yeah. I mean, some people that affordability is necessity. Some people are, by inclination, not wanting to spend that money on rent, seeing it on, the opportunity to travel or things like that. There's a woman I photographed named Satya, who works she works at Blue Heaven, one of the great restaurants in Key West. And, her whole thing is she wants to be able to be able to travel when she's ready. And so she's got this boat, she's got it all fixed up, and she's kind of just looking for the next port eventually.
And so then one of the other things too, because I was trying to understand it, being able to live rent free, there are rules on where you could park your boat. Help us understand, where are these folks actually, like, where they park their boats, where are they living?
Well, some of them are dictated by the military, some of them are dictated by private property, and some of them are dictated by nature because, you know, you have to, you know, the boat's got to be deep enough, the water's got to be deep enough that your boat's not going to drag or, you know, run aground when the tide goes down. But if it's too deep, you know, you're subject to pretty big tidal flow. So there's that. And, you know, everyone, there's a long place called Fleming Key, which is attached to Key West, and it's a big Navy base. It's an ammo dump. And people just tend to periodically creep their boats up close to it. And then the Navy has to go out and basically brush everybody back and get them to re-anchor further out.
And then
but the people who, you know, but it's safer to be closer to the island. So therefore, the people who have longevity out there tend to be the ones who are closer to the island.
And then, of course, when weather, I'd imagine, I mean, when weather, Mother Nature starts to get nasty, then what?
Well, they hunker down. And, you know, everyone's biggest fear is a neighbor with a poorly tied boat or poorly anchored boat. I mean, that's like everyone I talk to, that's what they worry about. And there's one couple I talked to and I shot them, you know, early on in the project. And I stopped by a couple weeks ago and I was like, hey, you guys acquired another boat. But the boat had broken free and they couldn't find the owner. And it turned out the owner had been deported to Australia. So, you know, but that's, you know, they managed to get control of this boat. But, you know, if a boat breaks free in an anchorage, it kind of, you know, pinballs around and can do a lot of damage to other boats.
Right. I'm talking with Key West photographer and resident Mark Hedden. He was awarded the Knight's Art Grant in 2018, and he spent the last year capturing the lives and stories of residents in Key West who live on boats. His exhibit, On the Hook, has the grand opening tonight in Key West at the studios of Key West starting at 6 p.m. And if you want to see some of Mark's photos, go to our Instagram at WLRN. These are really fascinating. They really are. You know, Mark, some of the some boats are now being used in the Keys, as you know, as Airbnbs. And I wonder, how do these folks, the liveaboards, feel about that reality?
Well, it's a mix because, you know, it's a way to get up a leg up in the world. You know, it's a way to buy into Key West and start making money same way people do with real estate, but with a lower buy-in. But it's also a lot of those people come out, you know, a lot of people come out and be guests on Airbnbs and they don't know how to handle themselves on a boat if they get into trouble, which mean the liveaboards who surround them end up having to save them, which can be, I think, tedious and time consuming and frustrating for them.
Has it happened a lot?
I think so. I mean, I don't, you know, it's hard to have data on it, but I know one guy out there who's got 7 boats that he runs as an Airbnb, like a hotel, and he's got a housekeeping station floating.
Wow.
So, you know, it's kind of, you know, you see these kind of same like architectures of like a hotel, except it's just all out there with detached boats in a same zone.
And then, so life for these folks, I mean, basically you're close enough to land and you're going to come to land. Maybe it's to work or just to get the basic necessities, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and the thing is everybody who lives out there, everything that goes back and forth to their boat has to be hauled on a dinghy.
And how do city officials feel about it?
I think they're okay with it. I mean, law enforcement tends to come down pretty hard on the liveaboard community. And I don't necessarily know that that's, fair, if that makes sense. I mean, there's bad elements in every neighborhood. So judging a whole community by some of the bad stuff that happens doesn't totally seem fair.
You know what? During the time that you were, you said you had wanted to work on this story for a while. And so I'm wondering, when's the first time, because you've lived in Key West for a long time, when's the first time that you actually met a liveaboard and you even started thinking about this idea like, oh, that's an interesting story. Who are these people?
I mean, my first boss down here was a liveaboard.
Really?
Yeah. And I mean, I brought up Blue Heaven before the restaurant, but the people who started Blue Heaven were able to do it because, you know, 25 years ago, because they were living on a boat and saving money. And that's how they kind of got their footing and made their way as a business. And, you know, it's almost like, you know, up north, it's a neighborhood, you know, you drive by all the time and never really go into. And then one day you drive into it and you're like, wow, this is kind of cool.
I want to come back to hurricanes real quickly because, I mean, after Irma, I'm wondering, you know, after Hurricane Irma, what happened to these residents? Are they all still there? Did some of them leave?
Some of them left. I mean, there's also a whole community. I mean, a lot of people lost their boats, kind of found other housing for a while and then found new boats. I mean, and that's happened over the last year. And I actually didn't want to start shooting immediately in the aftermath of the hurricane because I wanted people to have a little time to rebuild. But I talked to people who had their boat, you know, disappear right after the storm and then they found it, you know, 3 weeks later, 20 miles up the road, and managed to get it off the mud and get it all cleaned up, and they're back living on it.
Yeah.
And so, but there's also, I mean, there's a place called Wisteria Island, which is partly in this project, but I actually also partly not, but it's in legal dispute as to who owns it, whether it's the federal government or a family. And while it's in legal dispute, it's kind of a, it's a little bit of a no man's land. So it's home for a lot of people. There's all sorts of camps out there and everything where people are making their way.
And does the county, does the state help these owners? You know, like after the storm, homeowners get assistance. In some cases, do these liveaboards get assistance?
I'm not sure if the state does. FEMA, a lot of these people got money out of FEMA after the storm, and that's kind of how they got their boat up into the marina and get it fixed and things like that. I'm not sure if the state has done a lot. And, you know, there are mooring fields out there, too, which are a little more regulated than being purely on the hook. And it's a debate about whether people in mooring fields are living on the hook. And, you know, the other big thing is sanitation out there. So there is a pump out boat that goes around and pumps out people's bilge tanks.
Wow. Real quickly, what was your favorite shot of the bunch?
What was my favorite shot of the bunch? It's wrong. I pretty much asked everybody in this project for permission to shoot him, except I've got one guy going across the harbor in a dinghy giving me the finger. And for some reason, that is just the photo I like most of all. And I know it's wrong, but I do.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's always a fun one.
I grew up in New Jersey and went to a lot of punk shows, so it kind of feels like home to me.
There you go. Again, talking with Key West photographer Mark Hedden. His exhibit is called On the Hook. And it has the grand opening tonight at the Key West, at the studios of Key West, starting at 6:00. And again, we've got some of those photos on our Instagram at WLRN. Mark, congratulations and thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Lewis. I appreciate it.
All right. Still to come, fighting the stigma of mental illness. We're going to hear from the sister of actress Glenn Close about her personal struggle and her activism. That's coming up next.